You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Soccer tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We talk soccer all over Atlanta, Georgia, the Southeast, the United States, this hemisphere, and honestly, the entire planet. It's what we do on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Club World Cup is done. Major League Soccer is in full swing. The Women's Euros are going on in Switzerland. The Copa America Femenina is going on in South America. You have so many different things happening right now in the soccer world. International friendlies are about to start with club teams as they get ready. It's silly season, so it's chaos. We're going to touch on a lot of that stuff here tonight on the show. We're also going to get you ready for Atlanta United. Two games at home this week and perhaps two of the most important games of the season at home this week, because these are getting into must-win territory for this team. When you start to look at the schedule ahead, you start to look at the math, you start to figure out 10 points out of a playoff spot. That's more than three games out of a playoff spot. Okay, you're running out of games. You have seven games at home left. You're running out of home games, especially when you need four wins to get back into a playoff spot. Out of seven home games. So you're probably going to have to go win some games on the road. You're probably going to need to win eight games the rest of the way with only seven at home left. Yeah, that's where things are right now for Atlanta United. So this match tomorrow night against the Chicago Fire, really big. Saturday against Charlotte FC, really, really big. Next Saturday against the Seattle Sounders, really big. That's where this team is right now with three home games before the League's Cup. Wins are essential. They've won their last two at home in very different ways. Against Cincinnati and Orlando, feels like forever ago. It was forever ago. Mercedes-Benz Stadium has had six matches in the Club World Cup since then. There's been multiple sold-out concerts by Beyonce at the stadium since then. The grass is gone, back to the turf. All kinds of stuff. So let's see what happens tomorrow night for Atlanta United and Chicago. As we get you ready, I want you to hear my conversation from yesterday at media availability with Atlanta United head coach Ronnie Dyla. Here's our chat with the media.
And we talk a lot about building tactics over time, but how important is it for the players to build trust in one another over that period of time?
Yeah, that's, again, come back to relationship. You know, you have to trust that, well, first do your job. That's the most important thing. And then you have to trust that the others is doing their job. And then you will be put up in situation you want to do. And then things has to go quick. So that means that when the ball is on the way to somewhere, the other one is already knowing what's going to happen. And then things go quicker. And as I said, we have been changing style inside the season now. The last year, we've been playing three different styles. So, in different reasons, you know. So we need to be consistent now in messages. And hopefully we can have consistency also in the team. So we don't get a lot of injuries or other things that can do that, we have to rotate on the team all the time.
A week like this where you've got multiple games, it's hot, and you're going to manage the workload here, how do you reinforce the principles of play and the tactics for Wednesday?
Yes, now it's a good picture. We show them good pictures from the game. You know, when it's good, you have to show them. You know, again, I said to them, win, lose, draw. It's not about that. First of all, it's about a good performance, and there has to be a fight in the bottom. And I haven't seen that the last games. That's, you know, that's against all my values. And then I react. And I think they also saw that. And then they, you know, I can't expect more than they did now. It's just now it's about be better. Get better, but the bottom has to be that thing. So load wise, we train very hard and good. Last week we trained really well. We've done that the last weeks. We haven't thinking about, oh, we can't do too much or whatever. We are trained like a top team in Europe will do, and then now of course it's a different week. We need to analyze the training, and we do that to see that today that the subs is training harder than the others. But managing load and information is important now, and energy.
You could hear the subs training harder in the background there at media availability yesterday at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground in Marietta. Look, I think one thing to take away from that is Ronnie Dialo was not happy about the effort and the way that things looked in terms of output and work and intensity, and I mean, we can find five more synonyms for it in DC. It was a better week of training against Toronto, or ahead of Toronto. It was a better performance against Toronto. Same result, still a draw, but better, meeting the minimum standards that Ronnie Dialo has set for this team. One player who got on the board in that match in Toronto was Latte Lott. It had been a long time since he had found the back of the net. He did earlier in the match. He was about a step offside. He converted from the penalty spot very late to get that point. Here are some of the conversations with Latte Lott at media availability yesterday.
Those moments where you're struggling on the field, how do you keep grounded off the field and emotionally?
On the field, it's hard because, you know, when things are going like this, you go home, your family, you need to switch off. It's not easy, but the only thing I know is just look the positive things and sometimes don't think about football.
That you get two important points on the road from the past two road games. Now you have a stretch of home games coming up that y'all got to get points to climb back up the table. How important is this stretch, and what is going to be the key to getting those points?
But you know, right now I arrive in one stage where yes, we think about the point as important, but the problem for me is how the team like is doing for the performance. You know, I think I speak with the guys, so like performance is important. After if we do our job, the point will come. I don't know how, I don't know when, but they will come. So now we focus on the performance, and obviously we take we hope to take 3 points.
That's Latte Lott echoing what Ronnie Dialo has said as of late. You control what you can control. Unfortunately, you can never control results. You can't guarantee results. You can play really well and lose. You can play really badly and win. So what you can control is how well you perform, the level of performance, the level of work, the level of performance. More often than not, if you play well and you work hard, you're going to win games. More often than not. Can't guarantee the win. But more often than not, you'll get wins in those situations. So give yourself more opportunities for wins. Those are clips from media availability yesterday. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore. You've heard from Ronnie Dialo. You have heard from Latte Lott. I do want you to hear this conversation. This podcast is going to be posted here shortly on the SDH Network. Myself and Madison Cruz, we had the chance to catch up with Efrain Morales in an exclusive conversation. Talked about everything with Efra, a player who has been essential lately for Atlanta United, a player who has been essential lately for the Bolivian national team, a player who has started the last three games and I think played better and better and better in each performance, and a player who is a student at Georgia Tech right now. That's a lot to juggle for a young professional athlete, and Efrain Morales is making it look effortless. Right now, here's part of our conversation with both Maddie and I talking about the partnership that has been very good and hasn't given up a goal in the run of play in the last two games between Morales and Luis Abram. Here is part of the conversation that we had with Efrain Morales.
How's that relationship between you and Luis Abram developed over the last couple of games as well? Because, I mean, even from watching the game against Toronto, that connection seems to have just clicked immediately between both of you guys.
Yeah, I think we complement each other in the sense we're both, you know, we're both very competitive. We both want to win. But at the same time, we understand each other in the sense that we don't necessarily have to be screaming at each other the whole game. I think we could be a little bit more intentional with our communication when it's just, you know, even just talking at a normal voice level, not necessarily screaming at each other. I think that's when we get the best out of both of each other. We understand that. So I think we've been able to develop that.
How do you guys complement one another? What are some of the things that you bring to the table, but then Luis also brings as well?
I mean, Luis is definitely the consistency, the experience, mainly the experience aspect of it. I think me, obviously, I might bring a little bit more risk in the build out. I might do a few more things that he might not do. But like you said, there's the risk and the reward for it. So I think being able to have him, who you know what you're going to get out of him, he's going to complete all his passes, he's going to make all his tackles. And me on the other side, who might be a little shaky sometimes, but we'll try to do some things. I think you get the best of both worlds.
Make sure tomorrow morning you check out the whole conversation with myself, with Madison Cruz, and with Efrain Morales. It's what I love about this club as much as anything is seeing guys like Efra go from academy, and he was one of the first players to join the academy, to do that, to sign a pro deal, to play with Atlanta United 2, to become a regular, in Efra's case, to become a national team regular, and to be a regular with the first team. I've just loved his journey, and I think he's getting better and better and better. And I don't think we've seen the best of Efrain Morales just yet. I think there is plenty more to come from him. Now, look, one of the cool bonuses about tomorrow night in Atlanta United and Chicago, of course, you'll be able to listen to the game here on 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Pregame coverage starting at 6:30. Kickoff will be at 7:40. But if you're watching on Apple TV's MLS Season Pass, you're going to be able to, one, if you want to listen to us on that, you can listen to the home team radio call, but you'll also be able to flip back and forth to a familiar voice. Our very own Atlanta Soccer Tonight contributor on a regular basis, Jessica Charman. She called a ton of Club World Cup games this summer. She's calling games for the NWSL, for the USL Super League, and for Major League Soccer. She was on SDH AM this morning, which you can always hear a week in review episode on Saturday mornings here on the Off the Woodwork podcast on the Odyssey app. But Jess was with our own John Nelson talking about Andrew Gutman and talking about the matchup with Chicago. Here is their conversation from this morning.
And Chicago coming to Atlanta here in the midweek, and it's a chance to revisit with an old friend in Andrew Gutman. And
I love him. Oh, he's so good, though, still. He is so good, still.
Underrated or underappreciated. I'm trying to figure out the right word. It's just maybe because it's in Chicago and he plays on the back line, but you don't hear a whole lot of folks mention the season that Andrew Gutman has been having.
Yeah, but it's been like a comeback season for him, because if you look at his numbers from last season, he barely featured. He wasn't important. And now he's an odds-on starter. And watching his runs, I mean, he is so dynamic in the way he gets forward. And then he loves to invert. Now it was so interesting watching him connect on the left-hand side and then find himself inside the 18-yard box. He had two opportunities where if his first touch had been better in San Diego, he would have been through 1v1. But he had too heavy of a defender's touch, we should say. I mean, defenders these days have as good of a touch as anybody, but it was one of those moments where you're like, oh, that's why I didn't say it. I didn't fall into the trap. But in my head, I was like, oh, that's why he's a defender, when it came off his shin as he was going into the 18-yard box. But he's a tough-as-nails guy. And look, I never got to know him personally because it was past my time with Atlanta United when he was playing there. But he just seems like a good human being that's always going to give his all for the team that he's playing for. And I think it's really cool, his story of finding his way back to Chicago, where he came up through the academy. And now he's just doing a really good job, solid on that left-hand side. But I think with Chicago, the main reason why you're not hearing that much about him is because they haven't been great defensively as a whole. They don't keep clean sheets, barely at all. They concede goals regularly. But as we know, it's a team game. And as someone that comes from a goalkeeping perspective, it's a cliche, but it has to get through all 11 players before it finds the back of the net. And a lot of the times, you're not going to be defender of the year if your team has let it has one of the worst defensive records in the year, even if you've been a really good defender. So that's coming from somebody that never got goalkeeper of the year, even though they had plenty of saves, you know?
Yes. There's your cheat sheet on the Chicago Fire from Jessica Charman. She'll be on the call tomorrow night on Apple TV's MLS Season Pass. We'll catch up with Jess and talk about her crazy wild summer and look ahead to lots of things happening this fall all around the soccer world. We'll get Jess on AST here really soon, but you'll be able to toggle back and forth between Mike and I on one side on the home team radio call and Jess on the other side on Apple TV tomorrow night. Again, kickoff 7:40. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30 here on the radio. But coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, it's silly season. And there's a very big silly season story that does relate to Atlanta United. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about some of the other moves around Major League Soccer. It's a busy, busy time with the transfer window not even open for MLS yet, but deals are getting done, and deals outside of the league are affecting things inside of the league. We'll talk about all of that on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, coming up after the break on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We're talking Atlanta United, getting you ready for Atlanta and Chicago tomorrow night, Atlanta and Charlotte on Saturday night. We'll be back to talk about all of that next week. We're also talking about silly season. Silly season is a fascinating time in the soccer world, and it varies country to country. It varies kind of window to window. So right now in the summer, you have the offseason going on for the major European leagues. So it is a longer window and a longer silly season. That means it can get sillier. In Major League Soccer, you'll have about a month's time to add players. Now, there have been announcements about players who are coming into teams, like Enia Mihai, who is going to be a center back for Atlanta United. He can't play in matches until that Seattle match when the window opens. But you can go ahead and get deals done. In Europe, deals are happening. In South America, deals are happening. Players are moving. Pumas, for example, is trying to bring in Keylor Navas, the legendary Costa Rican goalkeeper. They brought in Pedro Vite from Vancouver Whitecaps. They're trying to bring in Navas, and Atlanta United will be playing Pumas in the League's Cup. We'll get into the League's Cup down the line. That's a whole nother topic for another day. Let's get into silly season, because there is a very important angle related to Atlanta United going on right now in Europe. Now, on the Atlanta United front, the only other news that has come up as of late has been the Edwin Mosquera move on loan to Millonarios in Colombia. It is a loan with an option to buy. His contract is up shortly, so this gives Millonarios an opportunity to see Mosquera and see if it's somebody that they want to sign to a new deal. So stay tuned on that one. We'll have to see where that goes. But Thiago Almada has been a topic of conversation on a couple different fronts. He is a Botafogo player still technically today. He played on loan with Lyon in France in the second half of the season, the first half of 2025. He won the Copa Libertadores with Botafogo before that, then went on loan to Liga and Lyon. And Lyon nearly got relegated to the second division in France. They actually did, and on appeal, they were able to keep their spot in the first division. John Texter is the owner of both Botafogo and Lyon and other clubs too under his Eagle Football Holdings. So the news came out today that Atletico Madrid have reached an agreement to sign Thiago Almada from Botafogo. Now, that was announced on their social media accounts and on their website. They reached the agreement to sign him on a permanent basis, so it's not a loan. And it's still subject to the player undergoing his medical and signing a contract. So they've agreed to everything. It's just not done in paper yet, and he's got to do his medical tests. He scored 2 goals in 20 appearances at Lyon during the Liga season, playing in the Europa League as well. Now, remember, Botafogo signed Thiago Almada in a deal from Atlanta United in June of 2024. It feels like forever ago, but it was a year ago. This was a $21 million deal with lots of other things on it that could make it go different directions. Now, there has been talk as of late because reporting came out about a month ago or so that FIFA, in a tribunal, officially sanctioned Botafogo for not paying Atlanta United for the transfer of Thiago Almada. The player is not at fault. It has nothing to do with Thiago. The transfer doesn't get revoked or any of that. I think there's been some very inaccurate speculation around that. The agreement was that the deal would be paid out in installments. According to the reports in Europe, installments over quarterly payments. Well, Botafogo's had cash flow issues to the point that players were not getting paid their Copa Libertadores victory bonuses. So they had issues making these payments. In February, according to the European reports, FIFA had already ordered Botafogo to pay $10 million to Atlanta United following a complaint that had been lodged by Atlanta United. Botafogo failed to comply to that. So then about a month ago, there was a second ruling in the FIFA tribunal. Botafogo were told to settle the full $21 million fee plus $150,000 in interest with immediate effect. I think they had 45 days to get it done. So does that relate to him going to Atleti? No, because he's a Botafogo player and that's not going to get revoked. But there are a couple other things that have come out around this. Atlanta United provided a statement about the situation. They said all conditional compensation terms under the Almada transfer agreement have been achieved for a total fee of $25 million after an original guaranteed $21 million. While Atlanta United retains a sell-on fee for any future transfer of Almada by Botafogo, they can't comment on the rumored transfer to Atleti, which is still a rumor because it's not done, even though Atleti's talked about it. So that's the statement. So that means the $21 million was the guarantee. That was the transfer fee. There were add-ons, which are typical in transfers, whether the player meets certain criteria, whether they score or do certain stats, whether they win certain things. I'm assuming Copa Libertadores winning that was part of this. So that's an additional $4 million. So FIFA's already said you got to pay the $21 million plus interest. Now they've got to pay, Botafogo's got to pay an additional $4 million. And when this transfer goes through, which is being reported as, I mean, it's a very convoluted deal depending on who you're reading, and we'll see what gets announced about it. It sounds like Atleti is basically buying half of the registration fee, or the card, the registration pass, as they like to say, buying 50% of that for a down payment. And then if they keep him, they can buy Botafogo's 50% out for a reduced fee. And it's a very complicated deal between Atleti and Botafogo. But Atlanta United will be due a sell-on fee for Botafogo selling him to Atleti. The important things are, the deal is more than $21 million now. It's $25 million. So Botafogo is going to have to pay that up too. They still have to pay everything else up. There has been an appeal in the process. So even though FIFA said 45 days when the tribunal ruled on this, Botafogo, John Texter, Eagle Football Holdings appealed. So now I don't know the timing of the appeal or how all this goes. Atlanta United is going to get their money,
When, I don't know. Case is ongoing on that. So when you start to do the math and what it sounds like and what's being reported and what this could be, start to think about what that sell-on fee could be. It sounds like ultimately Atlanta United could make around $30 million on the Thiago Almada transfer in this transfer, in this move, with the sell-on fee, with the conditional fees as part of the transfer and the guaranteed portion of the transfer. And they're going to get some interest out of it too, since Botafogo hasn't paid yet. So add on a little bit extra, add on another $150,000, according to the FIFA tribunal. That would make it right around the most expensive outgoing transfer in league history. Jean Duran going to Aston Villa. That one got jacked up because of the sell-on fee when he went to Saudi Arabia for a crazy amount of money. He's actually leaving Saudi Arabia, which is crazy situation for this guy who's not even 23 years old yet. And he's moving from MLS to England, to Saudi Arabia, and now to Turkey. Good luck, Jean Duran. So I think the Jean Duran one might end up being ahead of the Thiago Almada one. But Atlanta United, I think it was around $16 million was the transfer fee to bring him in from Vélez, according to reports in 2022. You're going to not quite double that. Really good deal for Atlanta United. And yes, they will get paid. And no, they're not going to be able to pull him back because Botafogo didn't pay. But they're going to make some extra money on the move from Almada from Botafogo to Atletico Madrid. Now, what's interesting when you start talking about this and silly season and how it relates to Major League Soccer and other teams, Almada's arrival in Madrid with Atleti could coincide with the possible departure of Rodrigo De Paul to Miami. Sources have told ESPN that De Paul's exit is down to the transfer fee between the two. De Paul's already said, yes, I will go. He's got 1 year left on his contract. He hasn't signed a contract extension. They want to move him now, Atleti, because they don't want to lose him for nothing. There's been talk about a $15 million transfer. I don't think there is any way possible that Miami could get Rodrigo De Paul on a non-designated player situation here. I don't know how they're going to get him if they already have three designated players, because they do. So I don't know what this looks like. Is there going to be a rule change? There's been talk about it. There's been rumors about it. Is there going to be some very fuzzy math? That's happened before. So, like, I don't know. If Miami gets Rodrigo De Paul, that's a scary move for the rest of the league, because one of the things that they have needed over the Lionel Messi time in Miami has been somebody in the engine room in the midfield who can complement him and can protect some of the frailties of some of the older legs in the team. Rodrigo De Paul is 31 years old. El Motorcito, he can absolutely protect some of the frailties. He's one of the best central midfielders in the world. It would be an incredible signing, and he would come because he wants to play with his friend Lionel Messi. He's been his bodyguard. Not literally. Messi had a bodyguard who's not in MLS games anymore. Maybe that's why you need DePaul. I don't know. We'll find out. But if we get that move done, MLS brings in DePaul, the rest of the Eastern Conference is going to really, really struggle with this Miami team, who has been really good this season, better than maybe they've gotten credit for at times. Other MLS moves in silly season that are done or being talked about right now. Aaron Long is out for the rest of the season due to a ruptured Achilles tendon for LAFC. They're going to have to go out and replace him. They're going to have to go get a center back. That was announced today. We'll see what LAFC can do in terms of bringing in a starting level center back, as they are chasing a title. They are chasing trophies. Charlotte, they have transferred striker Patrick Adjumon, U.S. men's national team striker as well. He's gone to Derby County in the English Championship. Club record fee, and yes, Charlotte will retain a sell-on percentage, which, by the way, is very, very typical at this point. Sell-on percentages are almost always included in deals. Very rarely you'll see a club pay more up front to not have a sell-on percentage. But it's almost always happening. It almost always happens in outgoing MLS deals. New York City, they've transferred defender Burk Risa. He has gone to Norwegian top flight side Molde. That was announced yesterday. Columbus Crew have been busy. They extended their loan with Andres Herrera, the fullback from River Plate. That's been extended another year through June of 26. And they have acquired midfielder Hugo Picard from Guingamp, the second division team in France. He was the league leader in assists last season
in the French second division. He is coming to Columbus. Dallas has moved on from Leo Chu, formerly of Seattle. He has gone to Portugal. First division team, FC Alverca. That was announced on Saturday. New York City, they've brought in a big player in Nicolas Fernandez. He has come over from Elche in La Liga. That's a big addition for them. Kind of finally replacing maybe what Maxi Morales used to be, what Santiago Rodriguez has been for this team. New York City have been aggressive in the window. I think Columbus, that's a good move for them. I don't know how aggressive I would call it. LAFC has to be aggressive now. They have to go get a starting center back. Charlotte's been aggressive in selling a player. Do they feel like in Toklamadi that they have the striker that they need? Or are they going to go spend in this window? Remember last summer, they were very aggressive trying to bring players in. They have been aggressive in bringing in Wilfred Zaha. They tried to bring in Miguel Almiron. Are they going to go be aggressive in this window? Zoran Kroneta has always tried to do that. So be on the lookout for Charlotte to be very aggressive in this summer window. Atlanta United, Chris Henderson has told us consistently, they are working on deals. They are trying to get deals done. They want to get players in. So stay tuned. Silly season. It opens here shortly. It's always ongoing, and it is very busy right now in Major League Soccer. Coming up next, as we wrap up this edition of Atlanta Soccer tonight, it's the 3-4-3. Three local stories, four headlines, and three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. That's all coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. And it's time for the 3-4-3, which is brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. Might be a bonus headline in there. We might try to rush a substitute on the field. We'll see how this goes. Three local stories. Let's start on the local side. Let's start in Kennesaw on Sunday night. Atlanta United 2, 3-2 winners over Columbus Crew. You were able to listen to the match here on 92.9 The Game. We always try to showcase one of the summer matches for Atlanta United 2 on the radio. We call them on the SDH network all season long, but it's always cool for the players, the academy players, the players who are trying to get to that next level to have that match on the radio at least once a season. Was a really fun match. Atlanta United 2 played really, really well. I thought they were very dominant. They probably should have scored a few more. Patrick Wea, he broke out with his first two goals of the season. Here is how the match winner sounded like from Madison Cruz.
Win on the right. Finds Cooper Sanchez. Sanchez driving into the 18-yard box, lays it out to Carmichael, finds Wea. Wea! A play that begins with Cooper Sanchez connecting to Ryan Carmichael, who sees Patrick Wea making the run inside the box. It's great awareness from Ryan Carmichael and just the one tap in from Patrick Wea with the left foot.
Really cool to see that goal and that breakout from Patrick Wea and Ryan Carmichael, who's been struggling a little bit this season as well. I think both of them get going. Wea converted on a penalty before that. And if you're looking for good vibes at a latte lot, converting on a penalty, breaking a long streak of not getting goals, Patrick Wea did, and he scored a few minutes later. So maybe we're due for a latte lot goal in the fifth minute. Tomorrow night, we'll have to see. But really good stuff and really cool to be on the call alongside Maddie. That was the first time that any of us who have talked about it, which is a whole bunch of us trying to figure out if this had ever happened before,
the first time a woman was on play-by-play on Atlanta radio for a local sports broadcast. Very, very cool. And she did a great job. And there's a whole lot more big moments that she's going to have in her play-by-play career. And you'll be able to hear a lot of them on the SDH network with Atlanta United 2 matches the rest of the way. Number two on the local side, the Premier League Summer Series. It's coming to Atlanta in a few weeks. I know it's easy to forget after all the chaos that we've had with soccer this summer here in Atlanta, with Leagues Cup coming, with Club World Cup done. It's going to be West Ham playing Bournemouth, while Everton will play Manchester United. It's one ticket for two games, and these are the final games of the series, two stops before they come to Atlanta. Make sure you're following Georgia Soccer, the state association, on social media. They're running some ticket specials for the doubleheader, and I think they're doing some giveaways as well, or at least there are some to come. So make sure you're following at Georgia Soccer on your social media accounts. While you're there, number three in the 3-4-3, Georgia Soccer and U.S. Soccer are part of running a lot of coaching courses right now all over the state. It's kind of the summer break for a lot of youth clubs. A lot of coaching, a lot of referee courses going on as well. Just at last glance, Rome, Macon, Johns Creek, Atlanta, more at all different levels of coaching. If you're looking for the more advanced coaching courses, cool, those are there for you. If you're looking to get started in it or just want to learn a little bit, if your kids are playing or you just want to learn a little bit more about how coaching certifications work, you can get involved. All different levels are available with courses all over the state. You can find all of them by following at Georgia Soccer or by going to learning.ussoccer.com/coaches/courses. learning.ussoccer.com/coaches/courses. All right, let's move into the headlines. Number one, Club World Cup is done. It was won by Chelsea, which was a big surprise in the final. Everybody had PSG in that one because they completely humiliated Real Madrid in the semifinal, and they had completely humiliated quite a few teams before that, but they didn't get it done in the final against Chelsea. They were humiliated by Chelsea, who played their best soccer in the final. They weren't the best team in the overall run of the tournament, but they were the best team on the final day, and that's what matters. Really good performance from Cole Palmer. Really good tactical setup from Enzo Maresca, and I know we've had our fun with Enzo over this summer with some of the statements that he's made, maybe not being able to count how many games Brazilian clubs play, but he got it done in the final. Really strong performance from Chelsea, and I think it puts a lot of interesting topics up for discussion when you're talking about the Champions League and you're talking about the Premier League this year, because Liverpool won last year in the Premier League. They've went out and they've signed Florian Wirtz, and they might do a little bit more. Save that one for a minute. So they're going to be really good. Manchester City, they're going to be really good. Pep Guardiola wants to get back to where he's been so many times in the Premier League and winning it. Arsenal, they're going out very aggressive in the transfer window. They're trying to get Victor Gyökeres from Sporting in Portugal, trying to get that deal over the line, would finally have that number nine that they've needed. Don't forget about Chelsea. This team with João Pedro, the last addition of their 543 forwards they've signed in the last year, the last one might be the one that they needed, might be the missing piece. So Chelsea's going to be in that mix. And when you win the Club World Cup, you've got to be considered as a front runner when you talk about the Champions League coming up this year as well. So narratives changing. Really good credit to Chelsea for what they did in the final. Also, a lot of conversation coming out of the Club World Cup about the effects of heat and playing in heat. And it's hot in the middle of the day in the summer in the United States. Probably could have told you that before. Probably could have told you that in 1994 when the World Cup was here. And games were played in the middle of the day, and people complained. It's hotter now than it was then. Facts. People complained then, they complain now. Facts. Why are the games being played in the middle of the day in these tournaments? European television. Facts. That's why. Do you see Major League Soccer games being played at noon or 3 o'clock in the middle of the day when it's very hot? Do you see any other sporting events? I mean, I know you have a businessman special occasionally in baseball, but do you see this on a regular basis? No. Why? Because it's hot. Games are better to play in the evening when it's not as hot. not rocket science. And I know we're dealing with a lot of people who want to have a lot of opinions and maybe want to throw a lot of shade at the United States. However, a lot of the conversation about heat is coming out of Europe when it is their fault for their television time zones. And when they want these games to be televised, it is their fault that games are being played at noon and 3 local time. It's Europe's fault. So how do you fix that? You don't play at noon and 3. It's just not difficult. Don't play those games, or play them in Atlanta where you have a roof and you have air conditioning. Play them in Dallas. Play them in the stadiums, which you already set up in the tournament, that have a roof and have air conditioning. Not all of them have both. Looking at you, SoFi. What are you doing? If you have a roof and you have air conditioning, you can get the noon and 3 o'clock games, and Europe will be very happy with you and they will love you. Otherwise, don't play. And if that means you're going to have games that happen at the same time, not in the last day of the group stage, so the players can have a better performance and you're not playing in the middle of the heat of the day, you should probably do that. And if European television, if people have to stay up a little bit later to watch these games, darn. I mean, I'm sad for you. I remember staying up at 3 in the morning and watching the U.S. in World Cup 2002. So, sorry. The world doesn't revolve around your TV time zones. Sorry, it doesn't. Protect the players. Play the games at better times. And if you're going to play in the middle of the day for European television, play under a roof and have air conditioning on. Number two on the headlines, Liverpool. They have, I guess, this kind of weird terminology, according to ESPN. They have registered their interest. I don't know how you do that. They registered their interest in signing Newcastle striker Alexander Isak. They're looking for another number nine. They might be moving on from Darwin Nunez. They have not submitted a formal offer for Isak, but they have made an approach to Newcastle to assess his availability, as they've done with other forward targets. Newcastle said, we don't want to let him go. He scored 62 goals in 102 games for the club. Liverpool's already broken their transfer record in signing Florian Wirtz to a deal that could go all the way up to £116 million. Probably going to be even more than that to get Isak from Newcastle. Now, Newcastle is working on a deal to sign Eintracht Frankfurt forward Hugo Ekitike. They tried to get him for £20 million back in 2022. They didn't get that done. Now they're looking at probably spending upwards of £60 to £80 million. Oopsie, probably should have got it done a couple years ago. But they want to play Ekitike and Isak together. That's what they're saying. Maybe it's a little bit of a backup plan. We'll find out here shortly. But Liverpool have registered their interest in Alexander Isak. Number three on the headlines, Charlotte will host the Major League Soccer All-Star Game for the first time in 2026. According to a person familiar with the decision, there's going to be a news conference tomorrow in Charlotte. Don Garber will be there. You can do the math. 1 + 1 often equals 2. And I think in this case, it will be an announcement tomorrow that Charlotte will host the MLS All-Star Game for the first time ever in 2026. And number four on the headlines, applications for tickets for the 2026 FIFA World Cup open on September 10th. Go ahead and set your reminders on your phones, on your calendars, write it big, put up a sign on your refrigerator, whatever you got to do. The tournament will start June 11th in 2026. Due to anticipated high demand, tickets will be released in phases. They have not said, FIFA, if they will use dynamic pricing, which is what they did for the Club World Cup. Ticket prices were all over, up and down, all over the place. I don't think they're going to do that for the World Cup, but I don't know. Going to have to wait and see. More details will be coming soon on that. September 10th is when applications for tickets will open, at least in the first phase. All right, things that make me smile to wrap up. I got three of them for you. Number one, all about the Women's European Championships, which are ongoing, getting ready for the quarterfinals coming up starting on Thursday. Switzerland. They are reporting that tourism is up due to the Women's Euros going on in the country this month, both in terms of people visiting each of the individual cities, lots of visitors from all over Europe coming to watch these games, and in terms of money being spent, which is what it comes down to. Awesome to see for the Women's Euros, and those kind of numbers are going to be insane next summer here in Atlanta, especially for the FIFA World Cup, but really cool to see for the Euros going on in Switzerland right now. Number two on things that make me smile, Spain and the way that they play and the way that they've played in this tournament. They've scored 14 goals in three group stage matches. Esther Gonzalez of Gotham FC leading the team in goals. Alexia Putellas, she's been the best player in the tournament by far, in my opinion. She is on course for another Ballon d'Or as the best player in the world. Spain is a joy to watch. The Spanish women's national team is so fun to watch. If you get a chance, check them out in this tournament. And number three, I'm going to recommend reading the story in The Athletic on Hannah Hampton, the goalkeeper for England. She has an eye condition called strabismus. I didn't know it existed until I knew about her story, and I didn't know that I have it as well. I was always told when I was a kid that I was missing a muscle in my left eye. And if you've met me, if you've seen me, I'm really self-conscious about it. And I know it's weird for people sometimes, and I don't like how it looks in pictures. And Hannah's talked about that as well. My eyes don't focus together. And you deal with it, and you figure out how to manage it and make it work. But Hannah Hampton was told that she wouldn't be able to play as a goalkeeper. She wouldn't be able to work normal jobs and things like that. She had surgeries when she was a kid on trying to fix it. When I was a kid, I don't think they knew what it was. I wore an eye patch for a summer because they thought it was like lazy eye, and it's not. It's something different. The eyes just don't focus together. So one moves in when it's not being used. You kind of turn it off. And that's how you deal with the issues with depth perception. You basically turn off the imaging from one eye. Your brain does. Your brain figures it out. And that's what she's done. It's a fascinating story and how she's overcome it and how she's one of the best goalkeepers in the world right now. And her brain has overcome her eye condition to understand depth perception, even with mainly using one eye in these situations. But also, like, as an athlete, to be able to handle the self-consciousness of, you know, people looking at you weird because one eye is going off to the side, not liking how you look in pictures, all those sorts of things that I could relate to that, again, I didn't even know what the condition was. I just knew I had something weird with my eyes. It's cool for me to hear her talk about it and share it with others. I can't believe, you know, for others, like, how empowering it is to hear this and what she's been able to do. And in this career, she had an amazing distribution to set up a goal for England in this tournament. She's taken the number one spot, one of the best goalkeepers in the world, and a really cool story at The Athletic about the condition. I learned a lot about my own eyes from reading this. So hopefully you guys will learn a little something as well, and you'll root for Hannah Hampton in England in the tournament the rest of the way. That's going to do it for us. Atlanta United tomorrow night against Chicago Fire. Pregame coverage with Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz starts at 6:30. Here on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Kickoff will be at 7:40. You can also listen on Apple TV's MLS Season Pass, but listen to Jessica Charman some too. You can flip back and forth. Back again on Saturday, same times for Atlanta United and Charlotte. I'll be back with you next Tuesday to wrap all of that up and look ahead to Atlanta and Seattle. Adios, everybody.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.